Praise God. I'm so excited again this week because we're still talking about God can be trusted. By the way, how was your week? Did God show up for you? Were you able to trust him for the big things and the little things? Like I said to you, God can be trusted. And he's interested in you. He's interested in the things that you worry about, the things that you think about, the things that keep you up at night. God is interested. And if you can trust him, he will show up for you. Remember, we established last week that the thing that is the most important thing for all of us is that we must first believe that God is and that he's a rewarder. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because we must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't believe God is, if you don't believe God is real, then you can't believe that he can be trusted. We've established that last week. We also established the fact that Satan is after your trust in God. He's after your faith in God. He wants to get you to doubt God. And the problem is, if you can doubt God in one thing, that means you have the capacity to doubt him in all things. In fact, the premise for which we stand today as Christians is the fact that we believe in God. We believe that he is. We believe that everything he says is true. Everything he's written in his word is true. We believe it absolutely. And that is why we are here today and we can call ourselves Christians. Because the very reason why you are even a born-again Christian is the fact that you believed. You trusted God's word. That he said, if you believe in your heart and you confess in your mouth, then you will be saved. So if you don't believe and you don't confess, then you will not be saved. The reason why you can say you're born again today, or you're the child of God, that you have been born into the family of God, is that you took God at his word. Simply put, you trust God. And so last week we also established that there are some certain things that we must just trust God for. First thing, trust God to get you out of tight situations. Get you out of impossible situations. Last week I talked to you about Daniel. I talked to you about the three Hebrew boys. And today I want to just establish some other people that God helped because they trusted him. I still remember the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He was dead 4 days. His body was rotten. In fact, when Jesus got there, Mary said something to him. She said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Stop believing the things in the past. I can still be trusted to get you out of this seemingly impossible situation. And he went there to the grave and he prayed. And then he declared, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, and his sister said his body was rotting and he was already smelling, that same Lazarus came out of the grave. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Difficult, seemingly impossible situations, God can be trusted to get you out of it. Or is it Jairus? You know, I particularly like that story because I identify with it a lot. Jairus' daughter was sick and he had gotten Jesus to follow him home to go and heal his daughter. And on the way, the Bible tells us that the woman with the issue of blood, who had been hearing about Jesus, and she had been saying to herself, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And she touched him and she got healed. Remember, he was going to go and heal Jairus' daughter. And he was following Jairus, found out that this woman was healed. And then he said, someone touched me. And then everybody was saying, Jesus, what do you mean by somebody touched you? Everybody's pushing you here. There's no social distancing here. Everybody's with you, pushing you, touching you. You know, how can you say that somebody touched you? He said, I felt virtue leave me. And the woman found out that she had been discovered. The Bible says that she fell down at his feet and she confessed everything. And she told her story. Listen, I can guarantee you that she must have been gisting Jesus the whole. She told him everything that she had been through. Not some things, which means she didn't summarize. She was telling him, I still remember when I was diagnosed with this at this age. Then my mother said, I cannot enter the temple. Then my father, she started saying everything. She told him about the many doctors she had been through that could not help her. Told him about all the money she had wasted. She was telling him all this story. As they say in Pidgin. As she did there, they put story. They came from Jairus' house and say, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. Let's be going. And Jesus turned to him and said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Jesus did not leave him at that point. Jesus did not forsake him. You know, that would have been a good point to say. Jesus would have said, oh, I've done one miracle for today and I'm done. You know, I've tried for today. I can't come and kill myself. No. Jesus said, forget what they're saying. Do you believe? Can you still trust me? And Jairus still trusted him. And they went home. And he got there. And true, the girl was not asleep or she was dead. I mean, that would have been a good point to say, Jesus, thank you for your concern. Thank you for even following us home. You have tried, sir. What can we do? The Lord give it, the Lord take it. Mm-mm. Said that when he got there, Jesus said, this child is not dead. This child is only sleeping. And everybody, they said they laughed him to scorn. You know what it is to laugh somebody to scorn? You know that kind of laughter that people fall. People that were mourning. From mourning and crying, they turned to laughter. They laughed till they all fell down the floor. Say, which one be this one? See new one where they don't bring again. I don't understand. So Jesus threw everybody out and healed that child. He said, rise, little girl, Talita Kumi. And the girl stood up. Seemingly dead situation. I'm telling you, if you can just put your trust in God, even in those things that seem impossible, he will always show up for you. He will never, and you know the funny thing? He never lets you go on your own. That's why I said the first thing is you trust him for difficult situations or seemingly impossible situations. Then you trust God that he will never leave you nor forsake you. We saw the three Hebrew boys. He was the fourth man in the fire. And we saw established last week the promises he has made. He said, if you go through water, you will not drown. He says, because I will be with you. He didn't say just going on. He said, I will be with you. And then he said also, if you go through fire, you will not be burned. And we saw that those three Hebrew boys came out of the fire and they did not even smell of smoke. Their clothes were not burned. They were not burned themselves. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, the third level of trust you must have in God, you must trust that God will keep his word. Hey, this one. This is the real, as they say, this is the real cocoa. This one. If you can get this one, your life is established forever. This one I personally handled with my hand, with my own hands. This is not just the truth that I have heard. This is not just the truth I have seen. This is the truth I have handled in my hand, that God can be trusted to keep his word. If God gives you a promise, listen, go and rest. It's done. As far as it has come out of his mouth, the word of God says that his word will never return to him void. He says he must accomplish the thing he has sent you to do and prosper in the assignment he has given it. Hey, that means that, listen, sometimes when we read scriptures, we need to sit down and meditate. He didn't say that his word will not return to him. He says it will not return to him void, meaning the word will return, but it will not return empty, which means it will return to give a report that the thing you sent me to do, I have accomplished it. Kalebosha. That means that every word that God has spoken over your life, it must come to pass. This is a good place to shout hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you serve this God and you can put your trust in a God that when he says something is as good as done, established, settled forever. When God gives you a word, take it to the bank. When God says that you will not be barren. Hey, he says you will not have a miscarriage. He will fulfill the number of your days. Listen to me, you're already carrying your twins. You're just not seeing it. That's the kind of God I'm talking about. If he says that you will be known all over the world as the one Jehovah has blessed, I'm telling you, the way you will blow, it will not just be fame. It will be with fortune. Hey, people will know you, but you will have something in the bank as well. Malika, Toza, Nalia. Listen, you need to praise this God. Let me just give you a few seconds to just praise this God. Let your hallelujah just be ringing in your house. Let your hallelujah be ringing in your house. Because that's the God I'm telling you to trust. He can be trusted to keep his word. Unless God has not spoken a word, once he has said it, he would do it. Bible says that he's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he will relent. He said, has he said it, will he not do it? Hey! He said, he's not a man that he will lie. He's not a liar. So which means that if God says something, in fact, another scripture says that it is impossible for God to lie. Listen, not that God cannot lie, it's not that God does not like to lie. It is impossible for him. So this morning, if God were to say to you good night, the sun would disappear so fast, you wouldn't even believe that you ever saw it this morning. It will suddenly become night because God has spoken. So whatever God says, every other thing has to rearrange themselves and realign themselves to make sure that God's word comes to pass. This is the God that calls those things that be not as though they were, and they become established. This is the God that stepped into darkness and said, let there be light. And there was light. It's the same God that says every morning, sun, come out. And since this world was created, the sun has not ceased to come out. Hey! And you are, listen, that's the God I'm telling you to trust. Put your trust in him. that if he gives you his word, he will do it. Listen, I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes it may not be immediate. And that usually is what discourages us from trusting God. It may not be as quickly as we want it. I mean, God taught me a lesson many years ago. He said to me one day, at the time I was still trusting God for children. And God had been speaking to me about how he was going to bless me with children. And he didn't want me to go the medical route. And that he was going to bless me with children, that there were two nations in my womb, and that he would do exceedingly above everything that I could ask him for. And God had just promised me. So I knew I was going to have three children, okay? I knew I was going to have three children. God had established a lot of that. He had given me scriptures. That was a fruitful vine in the heart of my husband's house. My children surround my table. I knew that one child does not surround the table. And, you know, he had told me that it was a reward for my husband because he fears the Lord. There were just so many scriptures. So many scriptures. Everywhere I looked, it was like God was telling me, it's impossible. You can't be barren. It's impossible. Look at all the women that I have promised in the Bible. And I came through for them. Why wouldn't I come through for you? Look at Hannah. I came through for her. Look at Sarah. I came through for her. Look at Rebecca. I came through for her. Look at the Manoah's wife. I came through for every single woman that was looking for a child that he promised. Well, except for Michal, but that's a story for another day. But every single woman that was found in the scripture that he promised them he would give them a child, he came through for them. Now, because God had told me this thing, did not mean it happened in 1 year. Did not mean it happened in 2 years. Did not mean it happened in 3 years. Did not even mean it happened in 5 years. It took me 8 years. But that is nothing compared to the father of faith, Abraham. You know, we are always singing, Father Abraham has many sons, and I am one of them. Abi, you're one of them. Listen, if you can see what Abraham went through, if you really want to be a child of Abraham, you'll be able to understand what it means to trust God. God appeared to Abraham at 75, I believe, and said to him, you will have a son. Because Abraham had gotten to the point where God had called him, I would make you exceeding great, I will be your exceeding great reward, I will make your name great. God had made all those kind of promises. And he was still talking to Abraham, saying, guy, chill. I don't hear. He said, but what will you really give me? Seeing as all these things you are giving me, you have blessed me, I agree, and no drag. You have prospered me, I agree, and no drag. He said, but all these things you are giving me, is my servant, Eliezer, that was born in my house, that will still inherit all these things. He said, so of what use and of what good is it to me? And then God said something to him. He said, don't be afraid. He said, a son from your own loins will be your heir. Hey. And he said, you know what? Come, let me show you. I'm not the one seeing. So he took him outside and he showed him the stars. And he said, can you count the stars? Abraham tried. Even senior me tried. He tried to count the stars. God said, see, forget it. You see how they are, you can't count them. He said, that's how your children will be. He said, yeah, go and count sand. If you wanted to try. God says, see, this is where the sand is, and you can't count them. That's how your children will be. And God made him this promise. It took him 25 years. Let me say it again. As I'm saying it now, some of you are not even 20. Some of you are not even 23. The life of a full-grown adult, 25 years of waiting on God. And people laughing at you, people mocking you. And not the most frustrating thing is that God even changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, father of many nations. So every time people call him, they say, father of many nations, he to the one side, they say, father of many nations, they will laugh. He walked with that embarrassment, what people would call embarrassment. He walked with it for 25 years, trusting God. Let me read this to you, Romans 4. This was one of the things that strengthened me in my own journey. God showed me that scripture and I kept reading it. I kept meditating on it and I kept thinking to myself that if Abraham could believe God for 25 years, Bible says he did not waver at the promise of God. Hey, he did not waver at the promise. You know what it means? His heart did not shake. He did not for 1 minute think that it was impossible for God not to keep his word. That's the kind of resolve you must have. Because God can be trusted. If he has given you a word, you must have the same resolve that Abraham had. You must keep your heart steady. I read it to you, Romans 4. In fact, it's such a beautiful scripture. It's a long read, but I'm going to try to... Let me read the NLT. I'm going to just try to shorten it in NLT. I was going to read the Message translation, but it's sweet, but it's long, so maybe read it on your own. But let me just read this to you. It says, even when there was no reason, Romans 4 verse 18, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. He says he hoped against hope. Even when there was no hope, he kept on believing. Hey. He says, and Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. He says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. 25 years. Some of us, 25 minutes. 25 minutes ago, God promised you something. And you were shouting, hey, 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 immediately. Immediately. Somebody just came and said, ah. They just canceled that thing now. Your faith will just shake. 25, not 25 days, not 25 weeks, not 25 months, 25 years. He says he never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Hey. And in this, he brought glory to God, for he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Kai. He said, in fact, his faith grew stronger. Let me see if I can read this to you in Message Translation, because I think I will be doing you a disservice if I don't. He says that Abraham did not focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't do that. He says he didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise. You know what it means? He jumped head in into the promise of God. Hey! And he came up strong, ready for God, sure that God will make good on what he had said. Ah! Sure. Unwavering. Sure. He was so sure. And Sarah's deadened womb didn't borrow. See, when before Sarah hit menopause, she was barren. So before, when she was young, she was barren. Then now she has reached menopause with that barrenness. So her womb was dead. As my husband would say, she had reached menopause, menostop, menodelete. She had reached the point where there was no remedy. Nothing could be done for her. And he said, even Abraham's body was dead, which means that he couldn't sleep with his wife. There was no logical way for them to be. It made no sense. But you see the amazing thing. He said his faith was even stronger. His faith was even stronger. It wasn't that at some point he said, shaking small. Mm-mm. He says every time his faith grew stronger. Because he had found God's word. God told me many years ago, he said, if you can find it in the word, you can have it in your world. If you can find it in my word, you can have it in your world. That challenged me. So I took God's word to the bank and I started confessing it. I started speaking the word. One of the things that will help you build your faith and your confidence in God and your trust in God is finding what the word of God says about your situation. Don't sit down and sulk. Don't sit down and feel sorry for yourself. Every time Satan came to question God's faith, came to question Jesus' faith and trust, he said, Jesus said it is written. He said, okay, if you are the Son of God, come and join us. Jesus said it is written. Some things are established. When something is written, it's written. You dance all you want here, shout all you want here, it is written. There's nothing you can do to change what I believe. And he said, you know what? I've tried to make you doubt God. Oh, yeah, come and watch me. Just say, see, I've been playing with you since now. Get out. Ta, get out, Satan. I'm going to do the Igbo style. You must get to that point where you are resolute. Resolute, totally resolute. You just start asking, hey, will it work? Will it not work? Hey, Sarah is getting old though. Ha, should I try? Mm-mm. He said he was unwavering. Not only was he unwavering, his faith in God was growing. It was growing. Stay in the word. Whatever God has said to you, believe it. Stand on it. God never fails. God cannot lie. God cannot change. God does not get tired. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And he's watching over his word to perform it. Ah! When the angel went to Mary and said to her, you will have a son. And she said, how would these things be? You know, at some point, she just got to the point where she said, you know what? I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to his word. She trusted him at that point. She trusted him at that point. And when she went to see her auntie, Elizabeth, or her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth said something to her. Said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a performance of the things which were promised her. If you believe, I guarantee you, there will be a performance of the things which were promised you. God promised me I would have 3 children. Today I have 3 children. Contrary to everything doctors have said. He promised me. He promised me that my husband will be known all over the world as the one Jehovah has blessed. He promised me today is a reality. He promised me that if we sow, we will reap. Today it's a reality. Listen, what has God said to you? You can trust God. Let me share the scripture with you as I begin to round up. Hebrews 10:23. I started a women's women trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Okay, in less Christian is women believing to become mothers or believing to have their babies. So I started that a couple of years ago. And when I started, one of the things God said to me, he gave me 2 scriptures, actually. Those are 2 scriptures I want to read to you, because for me, they formed the foundation for my life. And one of the things I believe very firmly in my life is that God can be trusted. I'll read to you Hebrews 10:23, the New Living Translation. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering, like Abraham. It's let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. It says, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. That's where I got that word, and I started saying that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. If God has given you a word, this is my challenge to you this week. Hold tightly without wavering. Don't shake. Don't shake. No matter what comes at you, don't shake. Don't be like something tossed to and fro at sea. No. Be firm. Be firm. It says hold tightly without wavering the hope that you affirm. Don't throw away your confidence and faith. Whatever it is that God has promised you, hold on. Don't shake. Don't be afraid. Don't stagger. Don't feel like, hey, will it happen, will it not? Mm-mm. Don't question God. He says, hold tightly. Hold tightly without wavering. He says, because God can be trusted to keep his promise. Now, if that one is not enough for you, let me read you another scripture. Isaiah 65, verse 16. I read it to you in the Contemporary English Version. Now, if you read it in other versions, it might not say exactly this, but this is how God showed it to me, okay? The other scripture is me telling you to trust God, but listen to God speaking for himself. He says, I am God. I can be trusted. Hey. It's only our God that can boast to. You know why? Because he has a track record of victories. He has never failed. He has never lost a fight. He has never lost a battle. Once God gets involved in your matter, victory is sure. He says, I am God. I can be trusted. He says, your past troubles are gone. I no longer think of them. Then he said this to me. He said, when you pray for someone to receive a blessing, or when you make a promise, you must do it in my name. He says, I alone am the God who can be trusted. Listen. I'm not even going to go into long stories today, because I can go scripture after scripture. I can go story after story in the Bible just to show you the faithfulness of God. Do you know what it means to have a God who loves you so much that he doesn't just leave you to your own devices? He says, these people, they will self-destruct. I will become a man. I will lay aside my glory and come down, and I will die for these people. I will walk the path they've walked so that I can show them what is possible. I will walk where they've walked. I will talk like them. I will eat like them. I will sleep like them. I will show them how it should be done. And then it says, then I will die for them, and I will pay the price so that when they are done with this world, they can come home and be with me. That's the God I'm telling you to trust. That's the God I'm telling you to trust. And he has told you that he can be trusted. I'm going to pray with you. He says, when you bless anyone or you pray, say, pray in the name of me, my name, the God who can be trusted. And that's what I'm going to do for you this morning. I'm going to pray with you because I know that my God can be trusted. I've seen him do it over and over and over again. So when I started Hannah's Heart, at the time, God had told me that if you could trust me for 40 miracle pregnancies, that I would do it. And God said this to me, I think in July or something, or June, I can't quite remember. By September, God had almost doubled the number. God answers. He hears. He's alive. He's a miracle worker. Like, I don't know how else to sell this to you, but my life is living proof that God can be trusted. I've seen him move in ways that can blow your mind. I'm telling you, God will do the same for you. He has said, if I'm going to pray for anyone, bless anyone, I should do it in his name. So we're going to do that. I'm just going to pray with you. And I want you to stretch your hands towards me. I just want to pray with you. I'm going to lead someone to Jesus first, because you need to know him. If you don't know him, you can't trust him. We established that last week. And if you weren't here last week, I think you should go back and watch the message. Listen. Listen to me. If you don't know him, you can't trust him. Because if you don't know him, you don't know what he's capable of. I know him. I know what he can do. I know what he can say. I know who he is. I know how he loves. And I want you to have that same experience, that same encounter with him. So I'm just going to give you a chance to give your heart to Jesus. Put your hand on your chest. We're going to pray that, and I'll pray for everyone, and then we'll be out of here. Okay? So put your hand on your chest. And say after me, Lord Jesus, I confess today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, that you died for my sin and you rose again on the third day. And that because of you, my sins have been paid for. And now I have access to the King of Glory. I am now a child of God. I am now born again. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. I receive your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Simple. You're now a child of God. Welcome to our family. You're now a member of our family. And when church resumes, we would so love to hug you as soon as we're allowed to stop all the social distancing thing. Okay? So please find time to study the word and to pray so you can know this God, so you can trust him. Now I want to pray for everyone. Okay? Stretch your hands towards me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone listening to me today. I don't know what it is they're trusting you for, but I know that you are the God who can be trusted, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you will never let go of us, you will never give up on us. You are the God who can be trusted to get us out of difficult situations, out of seemingly dead situations. We ask you today to step into anyone who needs deliverance, step in for anyone who needs saving, step in for everyone who needs healing, step in for anyone who just needs you to be their God. Ask for your presence and your power to make evident in their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for a specific testimony that will prove to everyone who hears it that God can be trusted. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Amen. Amen. And that's it. I trust God that God will do many amazing miracles in your life. Remember, this year, all things are still ready for you, and my God can be trusted. God bless you guys.